What's up? Love the podcast. Podcast.
You need to stop playing around with all the clowns and the wanksters. Good girls gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some neck up on it. While I stand up in the background and check up on it.
Hello, I'm not Dick Clark. Happy New Year, even though it's, what's the date?
13.
The 13th.
Don't
January.
Make fun of people with strokes, okay?
Oh, I wasn't making fun of strokes. You're the one who brought that up.
Oh,
I said
man.
I am not Dick Clark because
so
of New
sorry.
Year's.
Therefore, implying you didn't have a stroke.
No, I was implying that I wasn't Dick Clark and it wasn't New Year's anymore. Because this is the first episode of the year, but we're 2 weeks late, so it's
That's
not
right.
New Year's.
On three. One, so, two, three. Happy
Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
I'm your host, Mr. Coupon, a.k.a. Austin, a.k.a. Mr. Coupon, a.k.a., as Tony would say, and get slapped for in Chinatown, I'm not a round eye.
Round eye! You're
and
round
there's
you
Tony who is a round eye.
Hey, round eye!
You come downstairs, I got food for you.
And there's Al.
Hey, round eye!
The antipode.
Yeah!
Also known as Droogie.
The Droogie don't crash here.
And he failed at a sabotage in Rock Band. It was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
It
terrible.
Was funny. I played on Expert, and I forgot the words suddenly.
Even oh, wait, you were singing it?
Apparently, the words what the fuck somehow made it into Sabotage.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. You say let that slip.
So if anyone wants to see a video of humiliation, go to www.gamespot.com/user/the_antipode and look at the video of him failing his sabotage ass off.
Oh, yeah.
Can't believe you posted that.
Hell yeah, it was funny. Oh, you hear oh! All over the place.
Hope, you knocked over the phone. Well, you got big feet. How is that happening? Happening wasn't even on a bed. Stop blaming a dog. And you're leaving it on the floor? I love you.
Tony, what you been playing? Besides the dog.
I whatchamacallit, beat Bioshock finally.
Oh, you beat
nice.
It?
Nice.
Yeah.
No and, spoilers, but how was the ending? I've heard mixed things about the ending itself.
Not enthused.
Not enthused, yeah. That's well, pretty much what I'm going to
be. Yeah, I mean, like, I'll just put it this way. Fighting the Big Daddies was more... how you say fucking boss worthy than the last
than enemy. The last thing was I see
yeah I mean like he was hard but nice Tony very good you just stupid ass yeah the boss was hard but nothing near the Big Daddies just like the you know it, Big Daddies are fucked up especially when you get later on in the game mm-hmm. They just get more and more
aggressive
menacing
or?
Especially the bouncers. Bouncers suck, man. I don't know how many times I died because of them. But, yeah, played that. I played Dark Wizard on the Sega CD, and I absolutely love that game.
Dark Wizard.
Dark Wizard was a strategy turn-based game.
I think I remember this. Like, I never played it, but I heard of it. So.
I might have played this.
Each individual troop that you create or possess gets individual experience points. So they level up, and you could change their classes based on it. It's kind of like Final Fantasy Tactics or Shining Force CD.
Okay.
But just a much, much more broad and, I think, better game. And it's very, very, very hard because you got to really plan out your moves. And once your troops die, you got to create a new one. And by the time you get later on into the game, once your troops die, you got to create troops that are in less of levels. And you're just going to keep on
right,
getting
you
your
lose
ass
your
kicked.
Guys and they're gone forever.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is kind of like Tactics and all those other games, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but very, very good game. The music is, unbelievable. Let me tell you something. When it comes to music, Sega CD was spot on. Best
right.
music out of any system ever.
What
and the reason
CD?
Why is because they knew they didn't have graphics, so they just put all their fucking emphasis on music. And I
graphics?
Really miss those days.
Because
the music for most of the games was just unbelievable. So that's it.
I like cheese. Al, what have you been playing?
I went on a big shopping spree this week because Circuit City was selling games for $8.96. I bought Elite Beat Agents. I bought Lunar Nights. That was $16.96. I bought Magical Star Sign, $8.96. Mega Man X Collection for GameCube, $8.96. I bought this game I'm playing right now, Custom Robo Arena, which has
DS,
the stupidest,
right?
Yeah, for DS. Stupidest dialogue ever, just like the original, but the gameplay
like
is
pants.
Fun. No, not as stupid as... All right, so it's not the
Pokemon.
Stupidest dialogue ever. It's one of the stupidest dialogues ever, because I completely forgot about I Like Shorts. oh, and I Still Like Shorts. Okay, can't forget about
that. They still do that?
Yeah, like
he actually says I Still Like Shorts in Pokemon?
Yeah, because you can fight him later. Like, if you go back to that area and then you pick a fight with him again, he goes, I Still Like Shorts. You want to fight? Actually, no. There was another situation with that, because what happened was that in the first game, he said, I like shorts. And then when you go and play Leaf Green, which is the remake of the first game, he goes, I still like shorts. Anyway.
I like men now.
I was trying to say that, but I didn't want to, you know, implicate myself. So,
Spider-Pig.
Hey, Hope.
Spider-Pig.
I like shorts.
I like shorts.
Anyway, Spider shorts.
You like what?
I don't know.
She likes longs. Oh, she's such
boy.
A cornball.
I like longs. I like longs.
And what else?
All right, so I've been playing Custom Robo. I played a little bit of Lee Beat Agents. I think I played 8 episodes of that. Really, really fun. I played Contra 4, which I'm stuck on the 4th level boss right now because I can't really move fast enough to keep up with him. Mm-hmm. He, like, goes up and down this missile. He punches you, and you're, like, climbing up and down this rail of the missile, and he, like, shoots missiles at you. And you're like,
so is it kind of like the, what was it, the fit? Which stage in Contra 3 had the missiles? Is it 5?
I think that was stage 3.
No. This isn't,
with the helicopter
you're talking about
and
the helicopter holding the missiles?
Oh, yeah. Stage 3,
no,
yeah.
I'm not even talking about that. This
it's
is
not like
one,
that? It's totally
this
different.
This is one huge, like, ICBM that you're climbing on.
Oh, wow.
And it's going straight up. So you're climbing up on the rail of the missile, and this big fucking robot climbs and holds on to the side of it. And he's, like, climbing up and down. He, like, tries to punch you, so you got to jump off and jump back and, like, land back on it. It's freaking crazy. But I'll probably get it now that I know what to do, because I was, like, I couldn't understand what to do at first because I didn't see the other rails that were there. And there's actually platforms you can stand on. So that's that. Play Ultimate Mortal Kombat, which is the cheesiest game in the world, but I still like it. Play Warcraft as usual. I don't need to talk about that. On the Xbox side, I'm playing Oblivion, which I'm still trying to get past level 1.
Whoops.
Yeah, that game is freaking awesome, and I still can't pass level 1. But anyway, on to other games on 360. I've been playing Omega 5. Downloaded that. Very good. Playing Rock Band with Evelyn. She's playing the bass. I'm playing the drums. And occasionally I will sing, but we've been playing late at night.
He says.
First time we played was Friday night. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like hitting the drums, and somebody goes, doo, 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 from like downstairs or something. So I'm like, oh, shit. So I start playing like with my fingertips, my index fingers on the stick. So it's like, doo, 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 doo,
and it actually worked.
Yeah, it works, but I was missing notes occasionally because I wasn't hitting it hard enough. I was playing on like medium because I couldn't play on hard because I wouldn't be able to do it playing light. So I was playing on medium, so it was like, doo, and
what a faithful recreation of the fingers.
Yeah. Well, that was how light the sound was on the drums. I wasn't playing like with my fingers. I was playing with my fingers on the stick, so it wouldn't make a lot of
Okay. I thought you meant you were using your fingers
on the drum
pads. That's why I was like, what?
Yeah, nah, I wouldn't dare do that, no. I would have to like slam and break the fucking
use your fists.
Set. Yeah.
The fist
smash. I think I'm done.
Certain sexual connotations. What? Okay.
I said, I think I'm done because I don't think I was playing anything on Wii this week.
Droogie!
Metal Marines, I played. I just downloaded Star Tropics.
Joan Bile!
Yeah, Joan Bile. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for what I've been playing.
You suck!
What about you, Ming?
The first thing I did was finish Breath of Fire 2. Finally, I don't ever have to touch that game ever again. Thank God. I had to finish it for review.
Was it that bad?
No, not really. It was just very long-winded. I ended up giving... I think I was a little generous. I gave it a 6.5 out of 10,
Wow.
It's
and that's generous?
Yes. I mean, by the end of the game, it's like, hey, this could have been cool. Mm-hmm. But the first, like, it took me about 40 hours because I gained levels a lot and was, like, grinding a lot and tried to find everything. Mm-hmm. But for the first, you know, for the first, like, 25 to 30 out of those hours, it was just like, and then, like, the last 5 to 10 were like, okay, this is all right. The translation's still completely horrible. I mean, they got lines like, oh, Tony tried to open the door, but he could not figure it out.
Rhonda, you come down.
And then there was, like, a fucking, I use this example in my review, but there's an item. Like, all the translation is out of whack, so you can't tell what stuff is. There's this item called, that's spelled Dream BR. I don't know if that means it's a dream bracelet or a brooch or whatever, but it's Dream BR. I'm assuming it's a bracelet. And usually these RPGs give you a description of what the item does, mm-hmm. so that you're not clueless. Dream right. BR, its description is, erase the spell.
Oh, Jesus.
Erase what spell? What does it do? Does it erase spells? Does it reflect them back? Does it? It ends up that it basically all it does is increase the chances of an offensive spell not having effect on you. So they could have just done something like increase magic defense or something. But no, erase the spell. And then you can fish in the game, which is kind of cool. But when you when you go to fish, there's a menu that pops up that says, you know, cancel, equip your fishing rod or cast a line. Mm-hmm. And they spell fishing rod as LOD.
Nice.
L-O-D.
Mm-hmm. So it's sounds like a 5.5.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, though, that the stuff that you end up getting and the abilities that you get end up being really cool. Okay. The other problem is that they shove all the cool stuff into those last 10 hours, last 5 to 10 hours. That's why I said, like, that last part of the game is good, because they saved all the good stuff for the end. But it's like, right. You slog through the first 25, 30 hours just to get to that part, and it's kind of like, but I don't know. I am also playing Siphon Filter for PSP, which is actually pretty good. I should qualify that I got it for $15. So that might have lessened any negative impression I have from it.
Right.
But it's... I can't remember anything about the other Siphon Filters. I remember playing the original one on PlayStation 1, and for the time, I liked it. I tried it again. I downloaded it for my PS3, and it's still fun, but it doesn't hold up too well.
Yeah.
This is basically a version that they've updated to make sure that it holds up well in this day and age. The voice acting is still semi-crummy, though it's okay. You know, it's not that bad for some people. The graphics, yeah, they look like a normal PSP game. You know, decent, better than Dreamcast, widescreen, sharp, but a little blurry on the textures. And the action is pretty fun. There's a lot more, well, there's a little more emphasis on stealth. So, I don't play Siphon Filter 2 or 3, but I know that 1 was mostly just run and gun. If I remember correctly.
Running, looking like you got a load in your pants, and gunning.
Yeah.
I used to love watching that guy run.
Logan Load. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's good. I mean, especially for $15, Tony, I think this is one that you should try for $15. For $40, I would say, I don't know. I think you might get annoyed at the controls.
I don't know, because I played part one, and I didn't,
for the PlayStation
really like
1?
I'm sorry?
For the PlayStation 1?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, in that long time ago. I'm trying to think. I mean, it's basically that, but just done modernized. So if you didn't like the action in that, the general premise of that, then you probably won't like this one. So maybe
probably
never
not.
Mind. But it's well done. You know, and although I say the controls are clunky, they did the best they could with the with what's available on the PSP. So you can't really blame them. I also am playing Taiko Drum Master on the TS, which is pretty awesome. The what's it called? The touch screen is your drum, and they come with these two fruity looking styluses that act as drumsticks. So you're just using these two drumsticks and you're hitting the touch screen like, and it's like it's embarrassing to play in public. But I've never played it in public, so I wouldn't know. But I wouldn't play it in public because it'd be hard anyways. Because what are you going to do on the subway? You're going to set the thing on your lap and hope it doesn't fall off.
Right.
But or hope somebody doesn't snatch it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still insanely fun if you're alone. And I mean, because I mean, it looks kind of ridiculous. You're hunched over this really tiny screen with these two little pens going ding 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 ding. Like whereas Rock Band, at least it looks like a drum set, or it looks like an electric drum set, and you get real drumsticks.
Yeah,
but
Elite Beat Agents, all you're doing is tap tap tap. And
yeah, so no one can really
swirl.
Tell what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really fun. Like it was surprisingly fun, and it actually makes me regret that I never jumped on the PS2 version. Because that one actually has a taiko drum that comes with it.
Mm.
And I don't know if that looks more or less embarrassing, but at least it's a real drum instead of a touchscreen.
True. And you can't take it on a train.
Yeah.
Unless you have those stupid little screens. And then
right.
You definitely
yeah,
get that
then,
shit snatched.
Yeah, and much more embarrassing than tapping on a little screen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it for the significant stuff I'm playing. I'm playing other stuff here and there, but you know that's all care. Blah, 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 blah. Move on! May or may not know, CES recently happened, I think it was this past week, and
7th to 10th.
Anyone who doesn't know, CES stands for the Consumer Electronics Show. That is where video games used to be showcased back in the Street Fighter 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But that has changed to E3, which is now dead, and so it's changed to something else. Everyone's looking for the new E3, and CES was not it.
Nope.
Never was.
E3 was technically the new CES after CES kind of fizzled out the video games, and it's nowhere. But
it's all about the $2,500 car.
Yeah, and the 20,000-inch TV screens, which is still cool. But I mean, there are some gaming related things to talk about. But we might miss some due to the fact that it really wasn't gaming intensive, so that it was kind of hard to spot like any news that was worthy, that was noteworthy. So if you've got a news story that we missed, feel free to email us and let us know, and we'll talk about that. But the first thing was something with the PSP. It's going to get voice over IP, Skype, and GPS and keyboard and camera.
Mm-hmm.
So voice over IP, for anyone who doesn't know, is telephony that is done over the interwebs. Being in the cable telephone service business, Alfred, can you elaborate on voice over IP?
What voice over IP does is it takes like a phone or a device that acts like a phone. Like, for example, we are speaking on headsets at the moment.
Yes.
And it transfers that voice data over whatever media, like a telephone line or a, you know, headphone wire or whatever. Into your computer, which is analog. The computer converts it to digital, which is how the internets communicate.
Mm-hmm.
It sends that information over the interwebs to whatever destination.
Interweb!
And that interweb converts it back into analog so that you can hear it in analog-y glory.
So basically someone who has
very interesting.
Say again, sorry.
No, I'm sorry. That is very interesting. And what service will they be using?
Oh,
Skype!
Skizipe.
Skype.
Yeah, PSP is going to launch Skype, and it says, I don't know if this is for Japan or if it was just reported by Japan. So let's see. Tom Magrino from GameStop says, earlier this week, Sony's CES show site slipped news that voice over IP support would soon be added to the hardware maker's frontline handheld. While the blurb contained no information beyond that fact, Japan's Nikkei Net News Service is reporting today that Skype functionality will be added to the PSP as early as this month. Again, they don't specify if it's going to come out in the U.S. this month or if it's just Japan.
Probably just Japan.
Yeah, so technically you're going to be able to turn your PSP into a phone of sorts, but you won't be able to just turn it on, dial 777-PORN, and dial in. Like, you have to go through Skype and, you know, connect and yada yada.
And then go 777-PORN.
Right.
And then there's limitation. Only for PSP Slims.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So, and then, you know, there's the camera and the GPS and yada yada yada. personally,
I use my PSP as a navigator, my car.
Yeah, personally, just give me my siphon filter and get the hell out of my way. Though, I mean, it's a nice thing. I mean, if the GPS works fine and it doesn't cost too much, then you've got a PSV Slim for $200 and a GPS add-on for however much. And how much do GPSs go for these days? Like, a Garmin thing would still run you, like, $400 or $500,
no.
Right?
Or no.
There are some cheaper ones that are, like, $150.
Yeah, $200.
Oh, really?
200.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty basic.
Well, so says the guy who doesn't drive. Hello. Hi, that's me.
Hey, listen, I would use it just for walking. Manhattan.
Get a Helio.
That's awesome. Also, at CES, Bill Gates says, voice over IP, Skype, F you, I've got big balls, and Xbox Live has 10 million subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
So 10 million subscribers for Xbox Live announced at CES. Congratulations. Now if you could get your service working.
Yeah, man, what the hell?
That would
like
be great.
This holiday, like, completely screwed up Xbox.
But you know what they're doing, right?
What?
I think they get to their customers, they're giving, what was it, one or three free
downloads? Oh, they're giving
free
one free game.
Oh, okay.
A lot of customers are like, I'd rather you refund my account for the amount of time that it's been down. Because it's been down for, it's been spotty for a couple of weeks now.
It's still spotty, man.
Yeah, that's why it's like, a lot of people got 360s for Christmas and then...
Nuclear blast.
Yeah, it's nuclear. But, yeah, and people are like, you know, fuck the free game. It's probably going to be something lame like Joust. Give us a refund.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they give us all res, I think it would
yeah,
be
Yeah, res, that would be
settled.
Nice. Stick the controllers down your pants. But, you know, the chances are it's going to be like a $4 game. Which, you know, in all fairness, it's been down for a month out of 12 months, 50. You know, 50 divided by 12, that's around $4. A little bit more than $4. So maybe that's... But, I don't know. For that, there's some people saying, like, yeah, let's have a lawsuit.
And somebody actually sued.
Yeah.
They've set up a lawsuit already in Texas or something like that.
And this is different than the Guitar Hero thing. Like, yes, they said stereo sound. It didn't have stereo sound. False advertising.
Right.
Lawsuit. It's not frivolous. Maybe it's a little petty, but it's legitimate. Xbox Live, they never had a statement in the agreement that says we will have 100% uptime. I don't think – again, Al, as someone who works in the service, you know, the cable service industry, nobody ever guarantees 100% uptime, right?
Nope, there is never a guarantee of 100% uptime because that does not exist.
But I know that they refund for whatever time
they do refund. Refund. Even if it's just like 25 cents, they will refund because you know.
And that's because we don't really have anything else to offer besides refunding for service.
Right. So in this case, would you rather have $4.25 refunded to your account, or would you rather have Joust?
Technically, $4.25 doesn't really do anything for an Xbox Live account unless they give me $4.25 in points in which I could get a game. So if they give me Joust, shoot, why not?
Or you could consider the fact that $4.25 is still money and you can still convert that into points.
But I was under the impression that it was any Xbox arcade.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the details of that. What, Al? Sorry?
I was going to say, I highly doubt that they're going to give people physical money. They're going to either give people service credit.
Right.
Or points.
Right. Well, I just mean that credit in any form is saying that here's some credit. You can put this towards a game if you want to. So, you know what I mean? Instead of being forced to get Joust, whether it's points, real money, or credit, whatever that money is, that's something that you don't have to take out of your wallet.
Right.
To buy something that's not Joust.
See, the only thing is with the only reason why I kind of feel it as being less of a value is because for Xbox Live, you're paying $50 for a year. I kind of say if you're paying $50 a month, then the value is a little more immediate. But when I don't have to worry about paying $50 until next August, I'm like, okay, $4. That means that I get to wait 3 days before I get to pay $50 again. That's just how I feel about it.
I
understand
money,
what you mean.
Yeah.
Money is
money,
you know,
is
in any
money.
Form, it's money.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter to me how long it's off because I feel a different way. It's like I've already paid this $50, and now they're giving me $4 or $5 back. So I didn't pay $50; I paid $45.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm going to end up paying $50 because I'm going to buy Not Joust.
Not Joust. That's a good game.
I hope they give you that. My whole thing is, if they don't give you the money, that's fine as long as they give you the choice for the game, because then it's just like, hey, yeah, here's Xevious. I don't know.
Nice.
Question. I don't know if you have it on this agenda, but there was a rumor going around that they're going to make motion sensor controlling.
Microsoft?
Yeah.
They floated that rumor around countless times, and like then they're like, no, we're not doing it. You know, we don't need it because we're Microsoft and Nintendo is stupid and Sony is stupid. They haven't said all that, of course. I'm embellishing a little, but you know, they were basically like, nope, we're going to stick with controllers. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they finally went belly up and were like, you know what, fine, we'll do it. But I don't think they're going to for a while. But that is a legitimate rumor that has been circulating around. Like, I've listened to podcasts and they've said that, like, you know, people are saying that. But on to other things from Nintendo at CES. They win an Emmy for the motion sensing and the dual screen. It's weird now that game things are winning Emmys. They won last year for the D-pad. And
they won for daytime TV shows? The best daytime TV show is a D-pad. What?
I'm lost.
Wait, an Emmy? CES has their own Emmys?
Yeah, I don't know if it's CES or if it is the people who are behind the Emmys.
Really?
I think it's the people behind the Emmys because CES isn't stupid enough to give Nintendo an Emmy for the D-pad.
The thing that was broken,
I mean, broken to the world in 1983. If anything, they should have won an Emmy back then.
Yeah.
So the Emmys are just like, oh, video games, let's give it to them now. I think to me, like, that makes sense because before the D-pad, you had, you know, the Atari joysticks, and like the D-pad was
totally. But that still was in essence a D-pad, just with a joystick.
But it's not a D-pad because it's a joystick.
No, I'm saying the whole schematic behind it was still that sliver of plastic with the things and the rubber that touches it and, you know, makes digital things move.
Yeah, but I think
it's still the same principle.
The emphasis is on usability and the ability to translate all this input from a joystick onto a little pad that doesn't take that much space that you can use with your thumb that works really well. And I mean, like, they gave an Emmy to the DualShock. The DualShock is basically a ripoff of the Super Nintendo controller with rumble and two extra shoulder pads, but it's a great design, and it made things infinitely more usable. So
that's who got an Emmy for analog?
They'll probably give that out later if they do. I think,
like 10 years later.
Yeah, the first analog stick was either
N64.
The Saturn came out before the N64, right, Al?
Saturn came out before the N64. Yes.
Okay, so it would, if anything, either go to Nintendo or Sega for the Knights controller. If they even had the foresight, not the foresight, but even that they had the knowledge to know about that thing. Though, I feel like there's been analog, maybe not, I don't know. So Emmy, yeah, woohoo. And I finally got what you were talking about, daytime television. Without a trace. 24. Grey's Anatomy, D-pad, DS screens. Okay, so Games for Windows is announcing more games that are going to be compatible with the service, which is completely being outshined by Steam, which is better in every way. Alone in the Dark, Bionic Commando, which is coming out for PC, which is awesome because now that I know how the control is going to be, you actually have to aim your arm. I don't want to play it on a console. I refuse to play it on a console now. Like the only way I will accept playing is with a mouse. Because that's how I will aim, and it will be better. I don't care what anyone says, it'll be better. Conflict Denied Ops. I'm going to get flamed. Empire Total War. Lego Indiana Jones. That looks awesome. Microsoft Train Simulator 2. Yay, Ethan.
I want Lego Batman.
Sins of a Solar Empire, Space Siege, and Tomb Raider Underworld are all going to make use of Games for Windows, and they would have been better off using Steam, but that's okay. More from CES. Real guitars in rock games. Thanks. Because the reason why we play rhythm games is to play a real guitar. As opposed to, you know, the toy guitar that we, you know, kind of have a fantasy with and pretend that we're rockers because we don't have to actually practice a real guitar and get it down and like a virtuoso like Al over here so that we can just use five buttons. But no, give us a real guitar so we can get confused with all six strings because we don't know how to play guitar. Yeah, that's what
Nexus
we really
want
to play
drums.
Guitar Hero for.
And make it a video
Nexus
game.
Nexus Real
and
Drums.
Make us spend $20 for it.
Wait, what'd you say, Tony?
Nexus Real Drums and then real singers.
Well, the singing is already real. People just suck.
No, I'm like professional singers. Oh. You can't play the game unless you hire a professional singer.
Wait, you can't play this game. This game comes with Bret Michaels in the box.
I still wouldn't buy it.
Nice. Come on. Hey, baby. Wow.
But yeah, this is from Mark Whiting from 1UP.com. He says, a little device called Ediface, which is a newly unveiled audio peripheral by maker Soundtech. It's a little peripheral that attaches to a real-world guitar and converts the sound produced by the instrument into a digital MIDI format. This MIDI can be run through any alternate software that you choose or sampled into any one of numerous MIDI programs. While MIDI pickups from the guitars are not exactly new technology, the Ediface is unique in that it appears to use the actual sound produced by the guitar to work as magic, meaning that presumably it could even work for something like a traditional acoustic. More interesting to gamers, however, Soundtech has claimed that the Ediface will actually allow you to play Rock Band or Guitar Hero 3 with a real guitar. Apparently, the company is developing special adapters for the little device for all major hardware platforms, which once configured will allow a player to run to sync their digital output from the box to the rhythm games of choice. So yay.
Thank
I mean
for that.
The Rock Band drum pads being realistic is one thing, but like making you do use like a, not making you but I don't if people want to do it, more power to them. I just don't want to do it.
How would that work? I mean, like, there's so many frets and you know, you got six strings. How exactly would they do that?
Well, I think what they're saying it's going to do is if Guitar Hero and Rock Band actually contain the notes data, not just the gems that come down on the screen, but the actual tone of the note. Like,
oh,
this,
really? So
like,
you're going to have to actually hit
Like, what I'm saying is, like, if the game contains that note data, which I don't know if it does, but if it does, then like when you pluck the string and the note, like exactly like you said, the note that you pluck, it detects what note that is and it sends it to the game, and if the game matches up with it, then it says, okay, you play this note successfully. I mean, again, I don't know the technicality behind this, but that seems like that's how it would work, much like how the singing works. Like that already can tell your pitch and translate it over to what it's supposed to be,
right?
But again, are the guitar chart notes, do they work in the same way? I don't know.
Probably not.
That's crazy.
Because, I mean, the only way I can see that this works...
I mean, work in the same way? I mean, so...
Yeah, the only way I see this works is if the device does all the work. So what happens is that it will take the... it'll take the signal coming from the song, because everything is broken down into tracks on the song itself. So it could take the pitch of the note that's being played, compare that to what you're playing, and say, oh, this is right, make this green and yellow or green and red, you know.
Right. It'd be funny to see how they handle chords.
Right.
Or either that or bends or hammer-ons.
Right.
And, like,
yeah.
You know?
I think that the hammer-ons would be taken care of only because, like, when you do a hammer-on, you're going to produce the sound. And then the game's just going to hear that.
Bends are different because you might not hit
depends.
It.
Bends, yeah, bends, I don't know. Bends, that would be difficult.
Yeah.
And then you throw a whammy pedal on there.
Interesting. Interesting, but move on.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that anyways. Well, this is even better. You could play the Air Guitar Hero. Mm-hmm. It's a belt buckle that comes with a pick that senses when you strum. So you can rock out to Boston and Van Halen by picking at your belt, and the music comes out of your speakers. So I guess if you want to pick up a girl at a bar, you can go up to her and say, hey, put your ear to my cock and listen to me rock. And then just, like, pick away with this fake pick, and the thing will detect when you strum up and down, and it'll play the song to the rhythm. And let's
move. Well, you do know. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Go ahead. I was going to say let's move on because this is stupid, but what were you going to say?
I know, but you do know they have an actual competition, an air guitar competition.
Really?
Yes, they do. And
how the hell do they judge you?
Well, you play music, and depending on your performance and your stage presence, you win money. And I think it's, like, it's not exorbitant money, but
it's $5,
it's
money a lollipop.
It's money for looking stupid. I mean, you know, and hey, now you've got something that actually works. That to me is kind of news.
Yeah.
And they had Slash playing at the CES, too.
A fat, not Slash.
No. Yeah, because it didn't really look like Slash. It was like...
Yeah, it looked like a freaking... It looked like a melted, like... character from Batman Returns, like one of those weird clowns.
It looks like Rob Zombie.
And what's worse is, well, okay, I think it's dumb, but
what the fuck? Am I reading this correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Darth Vader and Yoda join the cast of Soul Calibur 4. Jump the shark, as Al would say.
What the? Yeah, totally jumping the shark.
but you know that, like, all these Star Wars fans are going to go after it, and why not? It's freaking Darth Vader. You're fighting with lightsabers, and it's a better game than Revenge of the Sith. But for me, it's just like, how desperate are they to get? It's like, you might as well turn it into Super Smash Caliber Brawl. Because if you're going to go this route, I mean, first of all, like, Link, when you put Link in Soul Calibur 2 from Zelda, he kind of makes sense because he's not that outlandish, but at the same time,
but
he kind of doesn't.
But also, that was proprietary. That was
yeah,
just
it was
one
proprietary.
System.
But I mean, like, yeah. the other thing is what I'm saying is that was still kind of ridiculous. It's like, hey, you know, let's throw him in there. And mm-hmm. yeah, Link played well, but whatever. It's like, you put Link in there, that's a little stretch. It's fan service, okay, but it's a little stretch. And then you put Spawn
and Eihachi
in there, and then fucking Heihachi, who doesn't even have a weapon.
Yeah, I was gonna say
into Soul Calibur, and it's just like, you know what? Okay, so okay, Link is the Legend of Zelda isn't like a deep, dark game, but it's serious. Tekken mm-hmm. is somewhat serious, besides the fact that you can play as a panda.
Mm-hmm. And the Spawn little dinosaur.
Spawn is Spawn. Okay, Spawn is dark in a 5-year-old
very
angst.
Dark.
Yeah. Todd McFarlane, I'm still 5 years old, and I'm drawing all these strawberry shortcake on napkins and
shit. And I bought McGuire's ball for $1 million, and I'm broke. No, seriously, yeah. Did.
But you know what I mean? It's like kind of a serious... And then they're like, you know, oh, let's get Yoda in Caliber of Four Souls. And then Darth Vader comes in. Come on, you know, just...
That's pretty sad.
I don't know. I mean...
I find it sad.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm sure they'll play awesome, and I'm sure, like, it'll be fun to play as, but at the same time, just the idea of it just really sticks in my craw. It's just like, oh, come on.
And they're definitely unlockable characters. They're not going to be characters you play right out of the box.
And here's the worst part, is that one version, the PS3 version gets one of them, and the Xbox 360 version gets another. So you won't have Yoda versus Darth Vader, which is what everyone will want.
Mm-hmm. That blows.
So you're going to give them fan service, but then also take it away from them?
Wait a minute. Didn't the video or a screenshot have the both of them in the same screen?
It was probably a promo video.
Probably.
But it's like, if you're going to go this ridiculous, stupid route, at least give them more of what they want. Don't separate them, you know.
Not only that, why even put them in Soul Calibur? Why did they make their own fucking Star Wars battle game? Where you could actually play all the characters from, you know, I mean, like, it's like Lego Star Wars putting, you know, fucking Mario as the secret character.
Why not just make a Mario Lego? Yeah.
Exactly.
They probably just didn't want to pay. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that's something that people have wanted for a long time, and then Masters of Teras Kasai or Teras Kasai or whatever you pronounce it as, I'm not going to bother pronouncing it right, came out, and it was a piece of crap. Teras Kasai. Ooh! It was a PlayStation fighting game with all the Star Wars characters. And it had the Star Wars license, and it was worse than what Ethan leaves in his bowl every morning.
Is it? Was it worse than what was the Final Fantasy VII?
Air Gaze.
Oh,
I never played that. That looks really stupid.
Stinker.
That looked
really stupid.
But I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not gonna judge on whether or not this is going to make the game worse. It's not going to make it worse. It's just, it just annoys me. That's all. It's whatever. You can flame me if you want. I'll just flame you back. Moving on to, here's one piece of good news that is also dampened by the fact that it's missing something. Nyko brings Guitar Hero and Rock Band together via one guitar for PlayStation 3 owners. If you're not familiar with the story. While the Xbox 360 version of Rock Band can be played with the Guitar Hero 3 guitar, the PlayStation 3 version cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And we all know that any version of Guitar Hero 3 cannot be played with the Rock Band guitar. Nyko said, you know what? We're going to give you the big middle finger and a tripod from between our legs. We're going to put out a guitar that can be played with both versions on the PlayStation 3. So you got a Gibson Explorer-shaped guitar that looks more like the Guitar Hero 3 guitar. In terms of, not Guitar Hero 3, just the Guitar Hero guitar, in terms of the buttons look like Fisher-Price, and the strum bar...
My first guitar!
Yeah, and the strum bar is clicky, but it plays with both games. My big issue is, where are the upper 5 fret buttons? They aren't there! What the hell is wrong with you? If you don't know, the Rock Band guitar has frets high up on the fretboard as well for you to do solos with. And finger tap and all that crazy stuff that's fun, and this guitar totally doesn't have it. So what's the point? I don't care. but some people might, so. And finally, CNET, who we all know has all the integrity in the world, has announced the best of CES for gaming. The Nyko Wireless Nunchuck, which gives you the very, very, very pointful, which is the opposite of pointless, and I'm being sarcastic, duty of not having a wire between your nunchuck and your remote.
So you won't choke yourself.
So you won't choke yourself. I really don't mind the fact that they're attached, and I really don't need this wireless thing.
Care.
I don't.
I mean, how far do you
That's
stretch your arms,
why
really?
It's a nunchuck.
Yeah. I
mean, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Then it's not a nunchuck. It's not a
two sticks.
Brilliant. Now
it's none. It's none now. It's a dildo now.
It's not.
It's a chuck. Just throw it.
It's just a chuck.
Just throw it. The Gateway FX7020, which is a gaming desktop. It didn't game. Oh, no. HP came with the Blackbird. That wasn't Gateway. Alienware's curved display, which looks like a 90,000-inch screen that's, like, really wide.
That's weird. Yeah.
So
look at that.
It's pretty cool. Sexy.
How much does that cost?
Nine balls and a mushroom tip.
Firstborn child.
Firstborn child.
When he turns 21.
When he first 21. What is this, the darkness?
Yeah.
Let's see. So, moving on to CES, there's some more regular news. The Wii holiday sales hit 744,000 units in Japan, which is nothing to sneeze at. Let's see the rest of the sales. This is from Tom Magrino at GameSpot again. With the NPD
loading.
Groups. Loading. No, I'm just trying to get to the notable parts. Okay, so it is just sales. Okay, so first, Sony gave the number crunching crowd a bit of gristle with the word that 3.9 million PlayStation-branded products in North America had sold during the holiday shopping season, 1.2 million of which have been PlayStation 3s, which is good news for them. Let's see, 17.7 million Xbox 360s have been sold worldwide since its launch in 2005. Wait. It says it doesn't specify if it's the United States or if it's worldwide.
Huh.
They say that it's
definitely not Japan. I mean, like...
Oh, why would you say that?
They don't do good there.
They approximated 2007 sales at 7.3 million, which is pretty good. Mm. Very good, actually. And then Enter Brain, which are the guys who make Famitsu, which is a Japanese over in Japan, says that 744,123 Wii's sold 5 weeks ending December 30th, and 232,000 PS3s are sold. And anyone want to take a wager on how many Xbox 360 sold, even though it's right in front of your face in the web browser?
It's not in front of mine, but I'm going to take
it's
a
not
guess.
In front of mine.
Say I had like 300-something thousand.
300,000. Tony?
Realize
that the PS3 sold 232,000 over that same period, Al.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
I would
So you still want to say 300,000? Okay, Tony?
I thought the Xbox sold more than PS3.
In Japan?
Yeah.
Not in Japan.
No. Tony?
Let's see. 180.
38,994.
What?
No, you gotta be kidding me.
Nope.
Even with Halo and...
You knew the 3 was there. Yeah, it got outpwned.
What the fuck?
So yeah, there you go. Sorry, Japan. But I think it's still selling better than the original Xbox. And if it's a good news at the very least, Sid Meier is going to get a Lifetime Achievement Award. Anybody who doesn't know, Sid Meier is the guy who made Firaxis Games, which is the studio behind Civilization.
Well, I think no.
Civilization. Sorry.
No. Wait.
No. Wait.
Railroad Tycoon and.
Firaxis was made for beginning circa Alpha Centauri. He was working on the microprose, but I don't think that this Firaxis was created back when in the Civilization days.
No, it didn't. But it's responsible for Civ 3 and Civ 4.
Oh, Civ 3 and Civ 4. Yeah. I thought you said Civilization.
I meant the franchise.
My bad, Azores.
Your bad is yours, Jalopnik. Dot what?
Save me!
Now for the bad news. Apparently, McDonald's doesn't cause fatty.
Stop it.
But games do. Wait, actually, that's not what he said. He didn't say it. He says...
Stop it.
This is Mike Fahey from Kotaku. While I'm positive that at least 15 of the extra pounds on my frame at the moment can be directly attributed to my recent string of afternoon visits to the McDonald's drive-thru down the street from my apartment, and I'm sure everyone has that same thing, the UK's McDonald's CEO, Steve Easterbrook, says it somewhat differently. Who is to blame for the obesity epidemic?
Your mama.
I don't know who is to blame, Mr. Easterbrook says. The issue of obesity is complex and is absolutely one our society is facing. There's no denial about it, but if you break it down, I think there's an education piece. How can we better communicate to individuals the importance of a balanced diet and taking care of themselves? Then there's a lifestyle element. There's fewer green spaces, and kids are sat home playing computer games on the TV, on the telly, when in the past they'd have been burning off energy outside. No, they wouldn't have.
All they would have been doing. Sat home!
They would have been playing Monopoly or Life.
God damn it.
Or Blackjack.
Stop it.
Or they would have been sitting around playing with dolls. Okay? The fat kids are going to play with anything that doesn't require them to go outside. That's the definition of fat. No, it's not, but it's something like that.
Fat in the dictionary. Someone who doesn't want to go out.
I've been playing games for many years. I am not 300 pounds. Stop it! Just stop it!
If it wasn't for your fucking preservatives, McDonald's, and your whatever the fuck you put in that food that...
It's fucking fat. Dog food! It is meat byproducts. Don't eat McDonald's food. Serious, I'm going on a bandwagon right now. Do not eat McDonald's food. Well, they sell inferior meat. That's it. Do not buy McDonald's food. And but play video games.
Here's a study. Here's a study. Let's do this study. Okay. Take one kid. Okay, take twins. Uh-huh. Okay, so that they have the same metabolism, hopefully.
Uh-huh.
Take one twin, and I'm not talking about breasts here. Take one twin. Keep his diet... Okay, the same. Stick him in a basement, have him play video games for a year. See what his weight's like. Take the other kid, make his diet full of McDonald's, but keep his video game intake the same. Whether that means that he doesn't play video games at all, meaning that he doesn't play
he'll be diabetic.
Yeah, there you go.
By the time he's 5, he will be diabetic. The one in the basement will be very, very withdrawn and scared of people.
But he won't be fat.
He will not be fat.
Unless his regular diet does consist of McDonald's, in which case he will be fat.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So we got to find twins whose regular diet... Okay, so we got to find twins whose regular diet is not McDonald's and who play video games on a... Let's say, maybe... I don't know, 3 hours a week. A very casual basis. So,
okay.
And then make that study. And let's see what happens. Supersize me. Now, here's something stupider... That was a fun movie, by the way. Here's something stupid, also from Kotaku. First, we have Gaston County, North Carolina, where 3 19-year-olds went on an arson spree, setting fire to 8 cars and 1 vacant home before the police finally stopped the madness. The reason behind the suspect's burning ambitions? Postal 2.
Okay.
And yeah, they're like, hey, it's going to be cool. We're going to imitate Postal 2. We're going to set fire to everything. Yeah.
And then... We have the Lafayette, Georgia arson at a water sewage treatment plant. Police are saying that the suspects in the case, 2 15-year-old boys who were probably in love with each other, are linked to a group of teens emulating the violent images portrayed in the movie Fight Club and the video game Tony Hawk's Underground 2. What?
We've been through this.
Thug 2.
We've been through this. Listen, kids need an ass kicking. That's all, okay? Parents, not game. You.
And
that's it.
And news story, don't try to mitigate this by saying, oh, but we're blaming movies too. No. No. You shouldn't be blaming movies either. You shouldn't be blaming music unless that music comes from a neo-Nazi hate group that is spreading hate. That is different. But this is not different. This is different. Not. Shut up. Moving on.
Well said.
Man shoots son over Xbox 360 argument.
The epic story of the day.
So dun,
dun, dun.
This one is so crack-driven as it does not make fucking sense. And, you know, most crimes are senseless until you find a motive. But there's no motive here. What's the motive? I think drugs.
Drugs. Alcohol, Pepe. As tragic as it sounds, this is from Kotaku. As tragic as it sounds, the real story has got to be one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. A young man, 17, in Pennsylvania, wanted his father to look at his Xbox for some unknown reason, and the father refused. An argument ensued, resulting in the kid handing a rifle to his father and telling him to just go ahead and shoot him. So the father did. Now the
I would have shot him too.
Now that kid is sedated in the hospital with a bullet lodged in his skull.
You shut up, bitch. You don't know what's going on. Shut up.
Yeah, I just want to take a second and imitate the scenario.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Dad, can you come look at my Xbox for a minute? No, son. Oh, come on, Dad. No. Come on. What the hell, man? I'm just... No. I said no. Damn it, no. Well, Dad, just fucking shoot me then.
Oops.
Oh, Dad, what'd I do? Oh shit. Somebody call an ambulance. I fucking shot my son.
I mean, like, I hope the guys, I hope the son is all right. You know, this is tragic, but this is really stupid. Like, this is what the headline says. When the dad, when boy said shoot me, dad did, police say.
Yep.
I get it. There's so many things wrong with this besides the fact that a kid got shot and it's possibly dead, knock on wood. Hopefully he's not. But I'm going to read through this again and, like, and just stop whenever there's an issue. A young man in Pennsylvania wanted his father to look at his 360 for some unknown reason, and his father refused. An argument ensued, resulting in the kid handing a rifle to his... Where did the kid get the rifle?
That's what happens when you have guns in the house.
That's why... No. He got it from the Xbox. That's why he wanted his father to look up the Xbox.
What? What's this thing sticking out of my disk drive? I don't know. But
oh,
I can't
look,
Dad.
Look, now shoot me with it. See if it's real.
See if it's real. Okay, and then... telling him to just go ahead and shoot him over not looking at the Xbox. Come on. You take a, you don't love me anymore. Just shoot me. Let him. Let your father watch his porn and then go back to him tomorrow and see if he's in the mood.
God.
So the father did, and that's obviously the last wrong part. So moving on. Ugh.
Jesus Christ.
So here's something that is a little shady and a little scary. Uh-huh. GameSpot owner CNET eyed for a hostile takeover. The New York Times is reporting that a consortium of prominent investment funds have managed to grab up 21% of CNET and are now working to kick out the company's directors and take over the majority of the company's board. The Times piece is based on people who were privy to a memo sent from the consortium to a board about 2 weeks ago. Among CNET's assets, of course, are gaming site GameSpot and tech site TechCrunch. Brian, did you misspell something again? And you write for a newspaper? The consortium is led by Jaina Partners and includes Sandal Asset Management, a venture capital firm, and entrepreneur Paul Gardy, the guy behind Ask Jeeves Technology.
God damn it.
No word
on
if or how this could possibly impact GameSpot. And you should have said possibly, not possible. Again, you work for a newspaper. I'm just kidding, buddy. You're farther along than I am, and I'm just jealous. But... at first, I was like, you know what? Maybe you kick Josh Larson out and you kick all those stupid money-hungry people that caused this whole scandal with Jeff Gershman out. And you got new management and everything's right with the world again. Then Frank Provo pointed out to me that they could just be as greedy as the other guys. So I said, never mind. So this means nothing except for doom and gloom in the company. It doesn't really affect me personally, but anyway. Oh, yeah. This also does... lead to more GameSpot news. One, Frank Provo, if you haven't heard, though he has made it public on his blog, which is frankprovo.livejournal.com, is no longer writing for GameSpot. He decided to leave. He feels that he could not work for a company that he believes, and he stresses that it's his belief, and he's not trying to put this on anyone else because some asshats were giving him flaming hate mails because they thought he's being an idiot. But he believes that he can't work for a company that he believes does not have integrity. So he's gone. His Super Mario 3 virtual console review was his last one for the site. He wrote somewhere in the area of like 750 reviews over the 8 years.
Wow.
He's been there like main freelancer, and he was the face behind the Shenmue thing, 6.8. And then after this, Alex Navarro, who's been on this show, who is technically my boss of sorts over there. Is leaving in 2 weeks. He handed his 2-week notice, and he will be leaving on January 24th.
Wow.
So there he goes.
He hasn't said where he's going.
He hasn't said where he's going. He's not sure what he wants to do yet. That'll probably come later on his blog, theheadofalfredogarcia.com. but it's huge because to me, he was. Like my favorite reviewer on the site, and that's why like I was pestering him. You get your freelancing position, you know. But he was one of the guys who was most active in the community, and a lot of people identify with him. He was responsible for the Big Rigs review, in which he gave it a 1.0 and had this hilarious video of it. And so everyone knows him from that. And he was the reviews. He was in charge of the reviews, and he's gone. He's going to be gone in 2 weeks. And we don't know the reason. No one knows the reason. He hasn't said the reason.
We're pretty sure.
We can speculate what it is.
Yeah.
but we don't know that for sure unless he actually says it. Probably only his close friends know. And, you know, that's something that we'll never know. But, you know, of course, speculation.
We're such outsiders.
Yeah. But the speculation, of course, is, you know, can be that, hey, this has to do with the fact that Gerstmann has left and it's scandalous and he doesn't feel that he can work in that environment anymore. To note that he and Gerstmann are very close personal friends as well. So, and,
question?
And just to, yeah.
What does this mean for you?
He just gets a new boss.
New boss.
Oh, okay.
Well, personally, like, for my position, it means nothing. For me personally, it sucks because, you know, he was, he helped me out a lot. He was good to learn from, and he was he was a fun personality. He was a fun guy. Yeah, he's gonna be gone. It's gonna suck for the GameSpot community. I'm part of the GameSpot community, so you know it sucks. But you know, wherever he goes, he will put out good shit, and I will give that website hits. Or if he doesn't decide to do gaming anymore, if he decides to go back to drumming, I will listen to his music. You know, it's so he's still alive. But as far as you know, working, you know, yeah, he's still alive and he's out there. And like, I just get a new boss. But personally, yeah, you know, it sucks a little.
Yeah, cue to music. Still alive.
by the way, you know, I want to take this moment to thank the asshat on Game Life who commented, obviously these guys' new GameSpot's policy is to bow to advertiser pressure the entire time they're working there and stuck around for the paycheck. It's too late to save face by quitting now. I hope none of them ever work again. This user's name
what
is,
a dick!
This user's name is Patrick. He's on the Game Life blogs. If everyone knows his IP address, give him a denial of service because you're a douchebag. You don't know anything and you shouldn't be on the internet and you have no right being allowed to speak. So you're a douchebag, and
fuck?
Thank you for being an idiot and shut up.
Yeah, and what's his evidence? Nothing.
Nothing. He's just the evidence is he's a twat scrub. So.
I never knew those things existed.
Yes, maybe they do. He's one.
Professional jizz mopper. That's what he is.
And then finally, we made it through almost an entire podcast without her, but alas, she is resilient. A story from Susan. And this is actually big, coming in the face of Alex leaving, which is coming in the face of Jeff coming in the face of Jeff Gerstmann being fired over, you know, blah blah blah, advertiser pressure, yada yada yada. EGM editor Dan Shu, publishers snubbed us after bad reviews. Electronic Gaming Monthly's editor-in-chief Dan Shu says that Midway, Ubisoft, and Sony have all denied the magazine access to their products as a result of bad reviews. In his editorial for this month's issue of EGM, which I'm holding right now, Shu claims that negative reviews prompted Midway's Mortal Kombat team, Sony Sports Division, and Ubisoft to stop submitting products to the magazine. He maintains that EGM, quote, won't treat these products or companies any differently. There's always been the speculation and suspicion about gamers publishers punishing media outlet for bad reviews. But not only to confirm that it happens, but to also name names is a move worthy of respect. Nicely done, sir. I'm glad that he, you know, because he's talked about this before. But now he's just like, you know what? The gloves are off. You guys are assholes. I'm going to tell the world that you guys are the ones who are not giving us coverage. And if they wonder why Mortal Kombat is not getting coverage in our magazine or why Assassin's Creed 2 is not getting coverage, it's because you won't give us the games because you were mad that we were doing our job. I have the editorial right here, actually. Let me flip to the page.
But question.
Yes,
before
answer.
Before you do that, couldn't they just buy the game? I know they're giving the games and stuff like that. But couldn't they buy the games and just release
That's the thing, is that's not the danger. The danger is that they won't get any coverage in between. So if people are asking, hey, I want to know, you know, why haven't I heard anything about this next Mortal Kombat game in your magazine? I'm going to go read Game Informer instead because they have the information. You know, so that's the danger. But here's the editorial from Dan Shu. It used to be that game companies would pull advertising if they wanted to punish a magazine for unfavorable coverage. In recent times, they're pulling the coverage as well. It's an interesting setup. Don't let us see the games, and we can't write anything bad about them. But don't let us see the games, and we can't write anything good about them either. Game makers have been taking issue with our reviews for as long as EGM's been around, for almost 19 years. It goes with the territory. Be honest and tough with your critiques, and you're going to piss just about everybody off at some point. When I took over as editor-in-chief in 2001, I also wanted us to get more real with our previews. I was tired of the press release rehashes of the industry I'd become accustomed to, so I asked for more sincerity and opinions from our writers and editors. Naturally, you have to be fair. The products aren't finished yet after all, but judging from reader feedback, our opinionated previews have been a hit. Silicon Knights, too human. Except with some game publishers, of course, less than totally positive reviews don't sit well with those who are used to those press release rehashes. such as Game Informer. I added that part. Combine that with our candid reviews, and you can imagine the consequences that we have to face constantly. For the time being, you get little, late, or no coverages on the following products. Anything Mortal Kombat, they didn't like our reviews. Anything from Sony Sports Department, ditto. And now, anything from Ubisoft. It seems our coverage of Assassin's Creed was the last straw. So in case you're wondering why you're seeing so little of these games in our magazines and our websites, now you know. What do we do now? Nothing. We won't treat these products or companies any differently, and we'll just cover them to the best of our abilities, with or without their support. Because after all, we're writing for you, the reader, not for them. And then GameDaily.biz, in an article by Kyle Orland, he had an interview with Dan Chu and just talked to him about this thing. Let's see some interesting things that Dan has said in this.
One of them is, piss off a game company, and you could say goodbye to that FedEx review code and hello to Best Buy on launch day.
Right, yeah, pretty much.
Just said, yeah.
Yeah, but that's, again, that's like the least of the worst. Like, when I reviewed Dragon Quest for the DS for GameSpot, I actually had to run out and get my own copy. Not because they didn't send us a review copy, but because they needed to find someone to assign to the game, and it would have taken them too long to send me the review copy. So things like that still pop up even without, publishers being asshats. So the biggest
But this is on a general basis. This is all the time.
It is all the time, and this is again, the more important thing is the preview coverage, the things that people want to hear about that they can't get. And Shu says to Kyle, Sony Sports Division and Midway's Mortal Kombat team have been on again, off again problems for several years. They would say they're banning us, but then not really mean it, then do it again. So it's not hard. It's hard to say exactly when the official definitive ban happened, but it wasn't very recently. And then with Ubisoft, things were a little more clear cut. He says they banned us shortly after our 1UP Assassin's Creed review appeared, but it wasn't just because of the review. They didn't like our last two previews of the game, which pointed out some of the design flaws that we were concerned about. So you'd think that a publisher might maybe take that to heart and maybe make a better game, but no, they got mad.
No. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the way it's going to be, and we hate you.
And Kyle writes in the article, indeed, the short post-E3 preview in the magazine's October issue gave the game decidedly uncoveted Game We're Most Worried About award. While a more in-depth preview in December was a little bit more forgiving, it still took the game to task for what the preview saw as slow combat, rough controls, and potentially repetitive gameplay. Shu says, Ubisoft basically said, that's it, we're no longer working with the 1UP Network in any capacity. You might think that withholding assets is a little counterproductive for a game company. After all, even skeptical cover gets your game in front of readers, and there's no such bad thing as bad press, as they say. That may be true, but the widespread competition in the game press means that publishers can take their exclusive access to a more receptive publication, Game Informer, leaving a blackballed outlet with little leverage. And Shu says, the press definitely has some power, but it's not like we're the only option for readers out there. So on one hand, any bans mean roughly 5 million EGM readers per month aren't exposed to these games and coverage. Plus several more million via games from Windows Magazine, 1UP.com, Game Videos, etc. But readers have many more choices, and the companies know that, and they can hold it over you. He ends with a good quote. There's some more here that you guys can read, but he says, eventually the companies all come back because they need to reach our audience. I know that sounds cocky, and I don't mean it to be, but that's what keeps me going, even when things are looking bad and down for us. We're unwilling to bend on this. I drag EGM down with me or quit before we compromise our integrity. And he says that one of his mentors, before he became editor-in-chief, has said, as long as you write for the readers and not for the companies, the readership will come, and the advertisers will have no choice but to advertise with you. That's a very sticky situation. I think there's not much to say from my part. I mean, this is pretty clear-cut what needs to be done and what's said. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Oh, by the way, anyone who's reading, who's listening, you can get to this article. It's GameDaily.com, GameDaily.com. And this was posted on Thursday, January 10th. So you just look for that. The headline is Media Coverage Frozen Out. So what are your guys' thoughts on this situation?
I concur. I feel like, the magazines and, all the reviews and whatnot should be to show what the game is about, not to pimp out a game and be like, oh, yeah, you should buy this game because of such and such and such.
Right.
And not even disclose things to watch out for. And if a game truly is bad, it should not be touted as looking good. Nintendo Power. And that when publishers get upset about that, I'm sorry. It's I guess what you would rather have is for people to buy your product now and it be shitty and then never buy your product ever again. Then to know, okay, well, this product is shitty, but I still like the company and what they bring out. Maybe the next thing will come out and it'll be good. Because there are right. companies Not that maybe, bring hopefully. Out, you know, stuff from the A team, stuff from the B team, and stuff from the F team.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes a product from an F team might actually be good. Not really good enough because it's an F team product, but it's still worth a purchase.
Right.
Most of the times, F team products are piece of shit. And sometimes you may even get an A base game that's like, well, this game is good, but certain types of people might hate it because it's either repetitive or it doesn't have good gameplay, like for people who want certain types of gameplay, or people who
Assassin's Creed Ubisoft,
or people who are like all crazy about a storyline might not like the story, might not like how it ends. I'm not going to tell you the ending, but you might not like how it ends, you know?
Right.
I agree. And what everything that Al said, as far as the publishers going to, you know, to the reviewers and saying, okay, we're not going to send you any games whatsoever. That just shows not only pettiness, but just absolute falsehood in the products they want to give out. If they can't take that they made a bad product, they shouldn't be in business.
True.
You're going to make a bad product. Okay.
You learn from mistakes are made to be learned from.
Exactly, and that's the whole point. Mistakes are, you made a mistake, okay? You spent a lot of money on a game that people that worked on it made shitty, and you know you gotta either fire those people and get new people to make a better game, or find some other line of work to go into. But you don't fucking shoot the messenger. You know what I'm saying? And that's what this is, okay?
Right.
This is like, they're not doing anything bad to your product. You already did something bad to your product. The people that made the product did something bad to the product. Why are you going to fucking, like, punish them? Because, we got to put this out the door. Yeah, put it out the door. Let it stink up the fucking joint if you want, you know? But you got to take responsibility for what you do, okay? It's like, you know, don't fucking take your aggression out on somebody you think is doing your company wrong. No, you got to take out, you got to put blame where blame is due. If your people are messing up your product, if they're not putting out the intended product that you thought was going to be a moneymaker, then you got to fire your team.
Yeah.
Not the fucking people that review your game.
I will say there's another side to this where some people are like, I saw a message where it's, we're going to boycott Ubisoft and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you know what? No. I mean, I don't think that it's what they did was good. I don't think what they did was right at all. And I think that it's good that Danji was calling them out. That's what we need. I mean, Engai Kroll from Newsweek was saying that, like, the whole Jeff Gerstmann situation, the best way to get this out in the open and get companies to stop being twat banglers is to expose it and talk to speak to why their things are happening like this. And Danji basically said, look, Sony is doing this to us. Ubisoft is doing this to us. Midway is doing this to us. And I'm glad that it's being exposed. At the same time, it's like boycott. I mean, they do have a business right to do whatever they want in terms of not giving them the information. It's not – they're not doing anything illegal, first of all. They're protecting their business. And maybe they might be going around it in the wrong way in terms of like not allowing coverage. But that's what the open market is there for. That's where the readers will come in and decide, do I need to have this honest coverage from EGM? Or can I just get regurgitated, like, happy face from Game Informer, you know? Like, do I really care about getting information on this game? If the market if the market sways to such where honest game coverage is no longer a viable business or a viable, you know, vessel to hear about games, and that's just a sad reality of the fact that people don't care about it enough anymore, and what are you going to do? So, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying that – what I'm saying is that, the way things are right now, like, they are simply protecting what they are – what they have every right to protect, and it's up to the people to decide how much they want to know about – bad shit that's going on in games or if a review is bad, how much they care about it. How many people really do care about these reviews? You know, how many people actually look at the numbers and actually read the text? How many people care? You know, is EGM, you know, does EGM matter anymore to people? And that's what has to be decided, you know, and it'll shake out. Like, Ethan would probably say something similar. Like, it'll shake out where if they find that, you know, if they're getting complaints from people or if they see that their sales aren't as quite as high or whatnot, they'll realize that, hey, we've got to give this coverage back because we're not getting exposure. Right. Maybe that's a bit optimistic, but usually it works out that way. So, I don't know. I mean, I think the whole boycotting thing is stupid because it's like, do you like their product?
Yeah.
Then buy it. You know. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
There's another. I'm sorry. No. I didn't want to interrupt you. I really am sorry. But there's another point to this. The other point is movie industries have felt the brunt whether they wanted to or not on the same aspect. For instance, when you have a movie that comes out or and you don't give like a what's the thing, a junket for the press release, you know, for the press to come and see the movie before the movie's released. If you don't give that, it's automatically assumed that this movie was so bad. You didn't want to give that fucking junket.
Right.
Okay? You did not want the press to see this movie and give bad press release before the movie was released because you want to make your money. Okay? Eventually, these movies will come out in theaters and less people will see them because there was no coverage of it.
Right.
Same thing can happen in the you don't have to boycott them. You just have to wait. Okay? Because eventually, Ubisoft is going to get no press. And, you know, because they've been... It looks like they want to burn bridges on people that are good press.
Right.
You know? I mean, like, EGM is a big magazine. You would want them on your side whether they give a bad review or not. Okay? It lets you know exactly what's going on with your games. Okay? So, eventually, what's going to happen if they give no press releases to any of their games... eventually, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to, like, say, well, Ubisoft, I heard they... You know, I heard they made Tomb Raider one time. You know, what are they doing now? Who cares? Who the fuck cares? You know, so eventually it could turn out that they're really, really hurting themselves. So you don't have to boycott them.
I think they are hurting themselves. And it's
No, they're definitely hurting themselves.
Bad, it's bad PR if this gets out, and I hope this does get out into bigger outlets. But it's just poor PR for them. I just think that, you know, it's also... When you get a relationship between a developer and a publisher, you really need to understand that the shit that they're saying can be helpful.
Yes.
Like, a lot of times on IGN, they were talking about how the first-person shooting controls in Metroid were kind of wonky. And they were saying in preview builds, feels good, but it could be better. Retro Studios went back and said, you know what, let's fix this.
That's great.
Why couldn't Ubisoft say, you know what, they're saying our shit's repetitive, let's add some variety.
Exactly.
But no, they can't. they can't do that. They're French. You know.
Oh, poor Ubi.
And French Canadian.
Booby. Well, French Canadian is kind of cooler because Canada is right above us, and you know they're our neighbors, so we like them.
Okay. I love Canada.
Canada. Said with a Scottish accent. Okay. So, with that, we will move to the mailbaggio, because there's a lot of mailbag that came in between the Christmas season and the new year, and the not new year, which is now, and, full of mails. The first one is from Gideon Bryant. The subject is entitled Nostalgia. It says, I'm not sure if this has been discussed before, but I think the order in which one plays games in a certain franchise or genre greatly affects what one thinks about specific entries in said franchise or genre. It's actually a really good question, as you keep on reading on. The most recent example for me is my finally playing Secret of the...
Symphony.
Symphony of the Night on the PSP. After hearing about how great it was in enjoying all the Game Boy Advance Castlevanias, I was pretty stoked. Needless to say, I was fairly disappointed. It was way too easy, the inventory management system was terrible, the familiars were pointless, and the ability progression was somewhat spotty. In other words, getting a super jump after you've already gotten a bat. As of now, I can state that I enjoyed all three Game Boy Advance editions more than this. Another example lies with the PlayStation 1 Final Fantasies. I played Final Fantasy VIII when it was released, and I remember loving every minute of it. I finally played Final Fantasy VII about a year ago, and though it was indeed great, I think it's pretty overhyped. And of course, there's Ocarina of Time. That game was probably the highlight of 1998 for me, perhaps that whole console generation. But I know people that played it for the first time recently, and they felt otherwise. When playing an old game for the first time, I tried to maintain an appropriate chronological frame of reference so as not to compare an N64 game to a PS2 one. So I don't think I'm making that mistake here. In any case, Super Metroid is just sitting on my Wii right now, for I am terrified at what I may find by finally booting it up.
Boot it up. Boot it up. Just boot it up.
Yeah, it is a sticky situation. I mean, it really just depends on what you like. There's no way to say. Some people, like, the old games, to me, a lot of them I don't like because I'm nostalgic about them. It's because I enjoy the way that they play. I enjoy the way that old games play. I enjoy the way that Symphony of the Night played. I'll actually agree with him and say that I enjoyed the later ones better. Well, no. I shouldn't say I enjoyed the Game Boy Advance ones. Circle of the Moon was overrated, way overrated, and in playing it again, it's actually not that good of a Castlevania game. I don't know why I thought so highly of it before, but it's not that good. The other two are okay. The DS Castlevania, the first DS one, I think is better than Symphony of the Night. I enjoyed it better, but I think it's... I don't know why. It's for different reasons than he's stating here. But I do certainly think that nostalgia taints things. It depends. Again, though, it depends. It really depends on the person.
Mm-hmm. It's subjective.
Yeah, it is. It's really subjective. Like Ocarina of, like, here's an example. The first time I played the original NES Castlevania was when I was in college, and I loved it. This is when I had already been exposed to Final Fantasy VII, to Super Mario 64, to Symphony of the Night, even to Castlevania IV on the Super Nintendo. Even I've been exposed to all these things, and I played Castlevania the original NES for the first time. And yeah, it had big flaws, but I still enjoyed it a lot. Mm-hmm. The first time that I played Ocarina of Time was right before I played
Wind
Twilight
Waker?
Princess. I played it after I started Wind Waker, which I never got past the first 2 hours of. But
right.
And I really liked Ocarina of Time. I don't think it's a perfect 10 like everyone else thinks it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked it. Mm-hmm. And it's not because of nostalgia, because I never played it before.
Right.
I picked up this I picked up Solomon's Key on the Virtual Console, okay? Which is a really shitty-looking game that's like some stupid puzzler thing. Yeah. and I love it. I really like it. It's like... You know what I mean? I've never played it before, and I rarely played old games from that era past Super Mario Brothers, you know? And I still liked it.
Well, that was after Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, it was? Oh, I thought it was before. Yeah. Okay. So, but, you know, it just goes to show that, no, not everyone is just nostalgic over these things. But, yeah, nostalgia really does taint it. I mean, I really do think that it's, again, like Tony said, it's subjective. It's up to the person. But for some people, yes, nostalgia does taint things, and they don't want to admit it. I think trying to go back and saying the original Final Fantasy was incredible, that's nostalgia talking. And when I say that, I mean the NES version. Okay. That is really nostalgia talking. The Game Boy Advance versions are better. I still enjoy them, but they are not better than Final Fantasy VII. They are not. I mean, anyone who says otherwise is either just, you know, really enjoys rigid turn-based stuff, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Or they are fooling themselves with nostalgia. They just hate Sony and they hate Final Fantasy VII. That they have to say that the NES
just
version is better.
Underlying reasons there.
Final Fantasy on NES and Final Fantasy on the Game Boy Advance and Final Fantasy on the PlayStation 1 are not better than the FF7 version. What am I talking about? They're not better than FF7. They're not. I don't think FF7 is anywhere near a perfect 10. I don't think it's even a perfect 9. I don't think it's perfect 8.5, but it's good.
There's such thing as a perfect 9 and perfect 8.5?
Sure. Perfectly 8.5.
In his world, sure.
Yeah, but it's good, and it's better than the original, and it's far better than Final Fantasy 2 on the NES, which is full of bullshit. And empty rooms. So, I don't know. Like, do you guys find that nostalgia still kind of, like, clouds what you're trying to... And I guess the reason why it's easier for me is because since I've started being paid to write virtual console reviews, I'm looking at all these things, I'm like, ew, this isn't that good anymore. But, like, what
Al,
about
you
guys?
First.
What do you guys find about that?
Yeah. Al?
Oh, I'm tired of going first.
I went first!
All right, fine.
First after Austin.
Okay, all I have to say is that I've played, you know, of the Castlevania games, I think I've only played about 4.
Before you continue, I'd like to say that Tony did go first with what you've been playing, so.
Yeah, and I went first
neater.
The last thing.
But you didn't go first after me, because I went last.
You know what? Tony.
Nice logic.
Tony, go ahead.
Nice logic. Out of the Castlevania games, I've played 4. I've played part one, which was hard as hell, and I hated how hard it was. I've played part two, which I thought was amazing, and a lot of people thought it was not. And I've played the one for Game Boy, and that sucked balls.
The original Game Boy one?
Yeah, that would be my bag of shit, okay, for today if we had a bag of shit. Yeah. Four levels, all hard, okay? Very, very bad boss battle, and yeah, blows, okay? But that's not nostalgia. That's not like going in with the new and like comparing it to the old.
It just sucked.
It just plain out sucked. Not because of the green screen and the dot matrix. No, it blew.
The spinach. Okay?
It blew. And then the last one, of course, that I played was Castlevania 4, which was Super Castlevania.
Right.
Amazing game.
Right.
Why? First of all, it took a leap in like the generation, better music, better graphics, better gameplay, better options. Just like everything was just made better. Now, if I had played this game before Castlevania 1 and 2, I would not compare it. There's nothing to compare it to. Since I've played the previous games before this, I'm like, wow, this is just a leap ahead. Now, conversely, I played whatchamacallit? What's that freaking game? I played Final Fantasy VII, okay, and I'm trying to compare it to the game that I played, which was Final Fantasy X. Final Fantasy VII was a much better game than Final Fantasy X. You may disagree. I don't. That game.
Of course,
sucked.
You don't disagree with yourself.
I could sometimes. Not this time.
Schizophrenic. I actually am enjoying Final Fantasy X. Well, when I was playing, I did enjoy it more than I was enjoying 7, but
really?
Bear in mind that I'm only a few hours in, and I have played 7 to the end.
Oh, okay.
And I don't dislike 7. I do like it. So, I mean, maybe 10 will grind my gears later on, but finish
right, right. And but the point I was making
gears.
Was that the reason why I hated 10 was not because I was nostalgic about 7.
Right.
It's because there are so many fucking bad things about that game that make me fucking pissed. And when I get pissed, it's not a good thing for games.
Or your heart.
And I or my heart, which is still holding up after all these years.
Which is
so
good.
Don't worry. There's
knock
a lot
wood,
of anger still stored up. You know, so yeah, I don't it's as I said before, it's subjective. You can play a game from years ago that'll blow you away. Like, I'm still playing the Sega CD games, and some of them I haven't played before.
So sure.
One of the games I haven't played before and I bought was Earthworm Jim,
right.
on
oh
Sega
God.
CD.
Groovy.
Okay, I've never
wow.
played it. Yeah.
Wow!
Never played it. By the way, I also have it on the Super Nintendo, and I never played it. So I'm like comparing both of them. They're both in the same genre, and I love them both.
Right.
You know, even though the Sega CD one has better music and like kind of like moves a little faster and is like crisper in the graphics, but the Super Nintendo color wise is much better.
Right.
But I love them both. You know, I love them both. And this is like how many years after 3D was, you know, put into games and polygons, okay? It has nothing to do with it. It's like whether you like a good game. And it's a good game. It is really a good game. It's funny. It makes me laugh. Everything is good about it. Yeah. Everything is good about that, especially when you get to For Pete's Sake. Holy crap. That Pete puppy fucks
oh,
you
yes.
up when he gets angry.
I remember that.
Oh my god. You know, it's just funny, you know. So generation gap aside, a good game is a good game whether you've played the previous installments of it or later installments of it.
I will say that the one thing though is that like a good game now might not be a good game later, and I think that's what he's addressing. When standards I don't want to be rigid about this, but when standards end up changing, like for example, what he's talking about, Symphony of the Night, the inventory management system was horrible, and that gets in the way of you being able to enjoy it. Back then, that's not what it was about. Back then,
right.
like we put up with that stuff because the open world thing is amazing, like for a Castlevania fan who had never seen that before, even though it was in Metroid for years past, and they just totally ripped off of it. But,
right.
you know, it's like And I don't want to say that he's missing the point of Symphony of the Night, because I don't think he is. Because if mm-hmm. this thing, if that stuff really does hamper his enjoyment, then it hampers his enjoyment. And there's no one that can say, oh, you're missing the point. But like that, but some people would say that, because Symphony of the Night is about the open world. And the fact that Gideon has played 3 Game Boy Advance Castlevanias already that has given him that open world, mm-hmm. the original Symphony of the Night does lose its luster as a result. And it's kind of like, if I were to say, it might be like what people think about Ocarina of Time. They play Twilight Princess, they go back to Ocarina, and they're like, why was this amazing? Mm. And people forget.
Conversely, you play Metroid and you play Super Metroid, I still like Metroid. I mean, you know, even though Super Metroid has a lot more going on.
Right.
I mean, you know, as far as inventory and just like the dynamics of the play, you know, as far as controllability and like all the different options that you have with that game, I still can't fault, you know, the older game for that. There's no way. I mean, it doesn't lose its luster to me. So
I hate the original Metroid now. I hate it
really?
Now. I can't play it. I'm like, fuck this.
Really?
Yeah, but
it's not fun. It's not fun for me, period.
I have a similar kind of feeling. I don't really like playing the original Metroid anymore, but only because I have Zero Mission.
Right, right. And that kind of just makes it obsolete. But I think the good test, Gideon, would be pick up a game that you did like a lot a long time ago. Maybe Ocarina of Time might not be the best, because I know he feels that this is like one of the best ever, and that might not be a good test for it, because it is really good. But I would say pick up a game that, you know, you do feel that you remember liking a lot. Pick it up again and try it now. And then try to objectively compare it to a game that you don't think is that great. Because, like what I would do for Ocarina of Time is now pick it up again and, you know, see if I measure it against Twilight Princess. And I hope I don't get flamed. I probably will. But I will maintain that everything that Ocarina of Time does, Twilight Princess does better. That's period. It just does it.
You're a bastard!
It just does it
you
better.
You got flamed.
Period.
Yeah, well, and if you get flamed, send them back.
Yeah, I'm going to flame you back. Right. But, like, I'm sorry. It's done better. The graphics are better. The music is better. The balance is better. The dungeon design are better, in my opinion. They're just better. So if I were to go back, if I were one of those people who said Ocarina of Time is the best of great game of all time, and then I went and played Twilight Princess and then went back to Ocarina of Time, knowing what I do about Twilight Princess, saying that it's better, and then still saying, no, I still think Ocarina of Time is better, that's nostalgia talking. That is. Like, right. I can't justify to myself otherwise, because I've just sat here and said, oh, this is better, but I still like Ocarina better.
They're also not the same game experience-wise. Right. I mean, like, you're doing, you know, you're using the Wii Remote. That adds a whole new different,
dynamic
to the game.
Actually, I don't like that much.
Me neither. I really don't. Yeah. I would rather a gamepad, but, like, just playing it with the nunchucks, after a while, you do realize you're using a different apparatus for this game.
Apparatus! Apparatus! I will say, though, there are games that I am nostalgic about and that I say I like better, but I know in my heart they're not. Like, I'll sit here and say that Final Fantasy IV is better than Final Fantasy V. Mm-hmm. But from a gameplay mechanic standpoint, the job system in V totally blows 4 out of the water. I still like 4 better. It's nostalgia. Right. So, it's there. Mm-hmm. Shall we move on, or Al, did you want to say one more thing?
Al?
I only have one thing to say.
Okay.
And it's just a personal comment that you guys all suck. No,
You suck.
You suck.
Can't jump mania. Fuck.
I like to play games, excuse me, without comparing them to other games. Like, if I play a game that is out of sequence, which is one reason why I like playing games in sequence in the first place, but then there are some occasions where I like to do things out of sequence, give it the Star Wars syndrome. But I like to play games and not go, okay, well, I'm playing this, it's not like this, so it's bad. So, like, if, you know, I'll take Gideon's situation, for example. Symphony of the Night. Now, I play Symphony of the Night, but I didn't really finish it. I think I played it until the turning point, quite literally.
Yeah.
And, double entendre. Even if I was to get back to it, like, I will eventually get back to it because I want to get the Rondo Blood pack for PSP whenever I get a PSP.
Yeah.
I'm not going to compare it to Harmony of Dissonance and Aria of Sorrow and Aria of Sorrow 2 and that other one, Portrait of Ruin. Mm-hmm. And only because I know Symphony of Night is built on the same structure as these other games, has a different story, it is dated, but I'm going to go into it as if it was that year that it came out, without any kind of knowledge of any of these other games or whatnot, so that I can enjoy it,
yeah.
As opposed to trying to pick out things that I can't enjoy in it. But then there's this other thing. If Gideon didn't like the inventory system and the familiars and the ability progression now, he probably wouldn't have enjoyed it before.
Yeah, there's that. And my other thing with that is that, I don't think it's fair to... And I don't think... Maybe you're not saying that he did that, but I don't think it's fair to say that he went into it to compare it.
No, because, I'm not saying it.
I think because you people, and like you probably do this too, you just don't realize it. You will compare those games. You will, whether you like it or not. You'll end up comparing them subconsciously. You'll say you might enjoy it or you might not enjoy it, and then you'll realize that something bothers you about like what you're not enjoying, and then you'll say, oh, man, this... Like, what I think happened to Gideon was he went to play it, and he was just playing it, and he was like, huh, man, this is kind of easy. Mm-hmm. Huh. Dude, what the fuck is wrong with this inventory system? Because... You know, he's gotten used to better inventory systems over time, and subconsciously his brain is saying, wait, this doesn't hold up. He's not going out and saying, you know what, unlike the GBA version, this inventory system is flawed. He's saying, like, what's going on here? Like, this isn't that good. Ew. And then, you know, he sits back and says, oh, this is why.
Right. I understand what you're saying, and I'm not saying that he was doing it. I would say that my personal way of doing it, I'm not comparing it to any. I was using his example as an example.
Right.
Uh-huh. But...
But what I mean is that when people go through a game, subconsciously they will end up comparing it to what they've played before or what they expect out of it. And that's like, it's not something that we set out to do necessarily. It's not something that I set out to do. When I was reviewing Breath of Fire, I was trying not to compare it to, you know, to any other game. I was trying to do it on its own merits. But inevitably, because my brain has experienced these other games,
right?
It there is something by which you judge them.
Yeah, everybody's guilty of that. Me,
I didn't set out to say that, but it ends up being that way whether I liked it or not, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's like...
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Me, Metroid Prime, and Metroid Prime 2. To me, Metroid Prime 2 was the same game. Huh?
Nothing.
Dumbo.
I said Emo.
Emo?
Never mind.
Anyway, okay. Oh.
Finish this one quick. I want to get to the mailbag.
Yeah. No,
so
I'm gonna move on after this.
That's
the only thing. I thought Metroid Prime was better than Metroid Prime 2, only because I thought Metroid Prime 2 was the same game. Everybody else disagrees. That's it.
I don't think everybody else agrees. I'm enjoying Metroid Prime. I enjoyed Metroid Prime more than I am 2 so far. But anyway.
Oh really? Oh
yeah,
okay.
Of course.
I thought you said
Prime
it
is
wasn't.
Well. No, I thought that Prime 2 is very good. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I think we disagreed on how good it was and
oh okay
and what you liked, what you disliked about it. I didn't. But I think that Prime 1 is better. let's move on to Rich Ball's question real quick. It's an audio question. We'll play it right now.
Hey, can I? While we were playing the video, can I just clean out my nose? Because I really sound like, ugh.
Clean it out quick.
All right.
This is all good material, let me tell you.
What's up, Char Games crew? This is Ridrit 79, or Richard Ball, in case you haven't noticed by now. And I thought I'd try something different here and send you guys an audio question instead of just typing in with a regular email. And... first of all, I just want to say Happy New Year to everybody at the Try Games crew, and I kind of do got one question. And since we had such an awesome 2007, I just want to know, like, what's that one game that you guys are looking forward to in 2008, and also whether, like, trends or predictions you think is going to happen in 2008? Just want to know. Just let me know, and if you do play this on the air, thank you, and if you don't, then, hey, at least you heard it for last. So, once again, this is Richard Ball, and just want to say... what's up? Love the podcast. Peace.
So that was Richard Ball, RidgeRich79, as he is known. Happy New Year to you, too, first of all, even though it's 2 weeks late. Sorry about that. What's the one game that we are looking forward to in 2008? You know what? I don't know. I mean, I really got to think about what's coming out in 08. there's nothing on Wii that's coming out in 08 that I'm looking forward to because they haven't talked about it. Okay, Smash Brothers.
So then what's the point of me talking?
What the hell's going on over there?
Al is cleaning out his nose and tried to replace himself with a female version of himself, but that didn't work.
So how's that live entertainment?
Yeah. So I was saying that maybe Smash Brothers is what I'm looking forward to, but I'm not a Smash Brothers nut. Like, I could live without it if I needed to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess a lot of them are coming out early. Devil May Cry 4 is coming out early. Burnout Paradise is coming out early, like, in
a couple
of weeks, if not a few days. I guess now that I have a PS3, I would say Metal Gear Solid 4, but I don't really like Metal Gear Solid that much. I really honestly just... Maybe if Alan Wake manages to come out, I'll say Alan Wake. But I've lost sight of so many things that are coming out because I've had to concentrate on this year. What about you guys? Is there anything in 08 that you guys are looking forward to that you know about game-wise?
This year is so fuzzy, damn it. You don't understand. It's like right now... The only games that I can see right now I'm looking forward to are Super Smash Bros. Brawl, and that's coming out in February or March. There's Burnout Paradise, which is coming out this month. Professor Layton's coming out next month. There's another game coming out this month that I don't remember, and I was like, damn. Soul Calibur 4 is coming out soon, but...
Yay, Darth Vader. Yo, Darth Vader.
I didn't even play Soul Calibur 3 yet, and I don't really play Soul Calibur 2 that much, so I'm probably not going to jump on Soul Calibur 4 like that. There's Street Fighter 4, which might come out this year, but I'm going to hold on.
If that... I'll revise. If that does come out in 08, then that will be... Because the way he said the question, I feel like it has to be a spectacular one that I am really, like, gunning for. Like, I will say then that Street Fighter 4 is that one game that I'm looking forward to in 08, if it comes out in 08.
True.
Otherwise, there are all these games that I'm looking forward to, but they're not, like, you know, hit me across the face like BioShock or Mario Galaxy or you know...
Yeah,
Rock Band, you know, not to say that these games are going to be bad. They're going to be great, but it's just hasn't hit me yet.
What do you guys think about the Sonic RPG that's going to come out?
Eh.
Yeah, right.
Eh.
It's BioWare.
I think they
a lot of
conversations. Killed it when they did Mario and Sonic at the Olympics.
Ugh.
That just talk about jumping the shark. They just fucking jumped the shark. Humped the shark, fucking blew the shark. Then they just fucked the shark up.
That shark is satisfied.
Yeah.
What trends or predictions do we think are going to happen in 08?
Wait. I didn't get mine.
I thought you... Oh, no, that was Al. Go ahead.
How can you
go ahead.
Yeah, Mercenaries 2.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't Ghostbusters.
Weren't you talking about Mercenaries 2 since, like, last year?
Oh, Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. And Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters could be fun. It's going to be Ghostbusters 3.
Voiced by the original cast, and it's written by Harold Ramis
and
Dan
Aykroyd.
Aykroyd.
Yeah.
So I think it might actually, you know, based on the, you know, the promo shots that they gave, it might actually be interesting.
Interesting. And if nothing else, at least it'll be the third movie that we've all been waiting for.
Exactly. That's exactly what they said the game was going to be. It was going to be the third movie, you know, without the movie. You know, so, I think I'm looking forward to both of those. Next question.
Trends or predictions? This is, again, Rich Ball from his voice chat, voicemail. What do we think are going to happen? I think this isn't much of a stretch, I guess. I think the 360 and PS3 are going to continue their price battle, maybe drop it by $50. If they feel cheap, maybe drop it by $30. I feel like Microsoft is going to introduce a new SKU for the 360, which will totally be annoying and stupid. But I feel like they're going to. I think the Wii stays where it is. It continues to be hard to find, and people finally get fed up with it. I feel that if the games don't come out, the so-called Wii bubble won't burst, but it'll start deflating a bit until the games come out. The casual audience will continue to flock to it, but like the so-called hardcore audience might fizzle out on it. The ones that are still following it, even. Because, you know, a lot of people have abandoned Nintendo because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And Wii Sports...
Oh, Jesus.
2 years? How much longer can that thing be appealing? They're going to have to come up with something new. I think that PC gaming is going to see a lot of... what would be exclusives go over to consoles even more this year, and I think that's a shame for people who are trying to make the best game possible on a single platform. But I think that's better for people to get exposed to great games, so it's, you know, I'm kind of, you know, up and down on that. And I think World of Warcraft is going to continue to make more money than anything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's coming out with an expansion,
and I actually
don't know
when. And not to be a troll, but I actually wish it wouldn't. I wish people would stop playing it so that they could play other... No. I'm not trying to be an asshole. I'm saying I wish people would stop playing it so they could play other great games on the PC that deserve attention. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But they won't.
Okay.
That's it for me. I don't have a glass balls, so what do you guys predict or whatnot?
I don't have an 8-ball.
8-ball. Yes, no, maybe. Al?
Oh, now I'm first again? God damn it.
I asked Tony, and he said he doesn't have an 8-ball. You're last.
Oh, last. I thought he was going to continue. All right, fine. I feel that there's just going to be a downward trend in games, just like, period. Compared to 2007, of course, like everybody's all like, oh, 2008's not going to be as good as 2007.
Business-wise or quality-wise?
Business-wise.
Okay.
You know, everything in 2008, I would definitely have to agree because of the fact that, you know, Halo 3 came out last year.
Oh, that's right.
And sold like zillions of Xboxes and copies. And you had
the Halo Edition, which didn't have Halo in it.
Yeah.
which I got. Fuck you, Buck.
And it looks like a Ninja Turtle.
Hey, yeah. Listen, I love my Xbox. It hasn't given me a red fucking ring of death yet.
Knock on wood. I think you won't get one. I think that's a good model, so you'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
I heard that was like a myth. Even if you get the red ring, it doesn't mean anything.
Nope, not a myth. It's real.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. You get a red ring, you're fucked.
Really?
In the ass, no KY.
If it's a full red ring, your input got knocked out and you just have to plug it in. If it's a red ring with three red sections and one blank one, game over. You're done.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you just look up the red ring codes online. You'll probably find them and their meanings. But go ahead, Al. Sorry.
Okay, sure.
It's all right. A lot of AAA titles came out this year. You had, Metroid came out this year. Last year, I mean. Metroid came out.
Galaxy,
Mario Galaxy
Mass
came
Effect.
Out. Mass Effect, Assassin's Creed.
Phantom Hourglass.
You know, a lot of big shit came out last year, sold a lot of copies. We don't have any information about anything that's coming out this year that's really, really a big AAA look forward to big seller.
Yeah, maybe that's a little bit planet, but I don't look forward to that any more than I do something like Burnout Paradise.
I didn't mention this, but they're like making a God of War for PS3 and also God of War for PSP is coming out.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that's coming out this year.
So, true. I mean, those might sell a lot of copies.
I think the PS3 version is probably a little ways off. Probably in 2009. I mean, they haven't, unless they've really, really kept it under wraps and have been working on it feverishly for the past.
Yeah, I thought they started it already. Yeah.
I'm sure they started it, but it takes more than just a year, you know? So we'll
have
to see what happens.
Totally understood, unless they got like a, you know, head really start, super team. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Al.
Oh, what? Anyway, see, the thing is, like, there are titles that are out there, but they're not immediately recognizable. They're not things that, you know, how last year we were constantly talking about, like, the same four or five titles that we didn't even have to go, oh, yeah, this game is coming out. Mm-hmm. Right now, I mean, it's January. We don't have any big announcements. GDC's coming in March. E3's coming in May. And blah, 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 blah. So we'll see what happens. But right now in January, we don't really have enough information, I think, to provide some real hardcore trends and things like that, except for the fact that 2008 is not going to be as profitable as 2007.
Right. So, those are our things. Thank you, Rich Ball. That was a smooth, sultry, sexy voice of the ball on WTRI Radio. Moving on to the CJ Hope saga. He sent us four emails. The first one is that EA likes Avril Lavigne. Is it EA or is it something else? I forget. But or is it something else? Let me click on his blog.
Yeah, let me see the GameSpot thing. Yeah, so far it looks like... Did he make that graphic? That's pretty good.
Probably. EA loves Avril Lavigne. Great. If you want to see this garbage, you go to CJ_Hope33's profile on GameSpot. And he just wants to vomit. And he goes, if any of you guys like her, I will no longer be listening to your podcast.
Oh, man.
His second email is, his bag of shit for this week is Krusty's Funhouse on the SNES. And he starts talking about this, but then he sent me an email later saying, I'm going to say straight up I'm an idiot. I was listening to a past podcast of your guys and realized that someone else sent in the same game. Once again, I'm stupid, and I will take the verbal beating you will give me for this oversight. Don't worry, no beating today.
Wait, he said Iggy's Wrecking Balls was a great game.
I think he was being sarcastic.
Oh.
Oh, also, Tony, Iggy's Wrecking Balls was a great game. You could play as an eyeball who said, let's rock this world in a high-pitched, annoying fucking voice. So that game's great. Yeah, I think that was sarcastic. And then finally...
All right, I just read that for the first time. I'm sorry.
His last message is... This message in the mailbag is not about video games, but about the hilarious, I mean horrible, act of upper decking. Please read this site so we can prevent Ethan from upper decking anymore. Also, how many times has Ethan upper decked someone's toilet? It's www.antiupperdeck.com. It's spelled exactly what it sounds like.
Wow.
I think he upper decked his own toilet. That's
no, but wait. I went to the site. It's really funny. The organization is called FUDGE, Fighting Upper Decking Goons with Education. And it's got a
stain for a logo.
No, it's got a caution sign, and it's got somebody sitting on a toilet upper decking it.
Yeah,
and then no sign. It's awesome.
And it's got two
dicks. Yeah.
CJ Hope wins letter of the week.
Just say
that's
no.
Awesome.
Go crap somewhere else.
Good stuff, guy. Good stuff.
There's two more questions. We'll go through them quick. One of them is from Digimatrix. What are some games that don't need sequels out of the ones that are possibly getting one? I don't need Gears of War 2 or Bioshock 2 or Resistance 2. I understand publishers and companies are all happy when original games sell and they want to make more money and make a franchise, but on grounds, do you make a franchise? That was a rhetorical question. What games don't need sequels? Halo.
Bioshock. Bioshock doesn't need a sequel.
Halo doesn't need one. Bioshock, I heard, doesn't need one because it's perfectly good on its own. I actually would like to see a Gears of War because there are things that I would like to see slightly improved. I'm wagering between Zelda needing one and not needing one. I think they should change it up once and then be done with it.
Well, they did. Don't you understand? They gave you the fucking arrow shooting one. That's great.
Like, I actually heard that game was actually fun, and I heard that game.
That's it. You're out of here.
No. Hey, no. If you don't like Lycan games, then of course you're not gonna think it's fun. But I do like Lycan games, and I heard it was fun, so I'm gonna give it the benefit of the doubt. But I'm not gonna buy a Wii Zapper for it.
You have a higher tolerance than me. Sorry.
No, I just like different things.
Okay.
I don't need any more Final Fantasies. Please move off of it. I don't need, I definitely don't need another Resistance. Screw that. I think they killed off Jak and Dax, right? So there's no more of that. I think they should, I don't know, Mario is such an icon, but I feel like maybe they should move off the Mario bandwagon and start something new. Like with Zelda, they should start something new.
They should wait a year or two on Mario.
Yeah,
anything Mario related.
They do wait. It's just that they whore them out to Mario Kart. But like as far as the official games go, there was Mario 1, 2, 3, World, 64. It was the only one on that console. Sunshine was the only one on the GameCube and Galaxy. You know, so they've been waiting, but it's just like I think they have the talent to do something new. Bring back Pikmin. Do something.
Yes.
Do something else.
Yes, absolutely.
And make
a
new flagship. And you know you can still use Mario as a spokesperson, but
you can switch his letters around and make another name.
Royam.
Royam. That's exactly. You had Olimar, and now you have Royam.
I think after Ninja Gaiden 2, we don't need any more of that. I think with the greatest games like that, you really either need to space them out a lot or just not put them out anymore. Let them be. Ninja Gaiden was fantastic. I think 2 will be fantastic, and I think they should just stop there and move on to another thing, and maybe in 10 years, maybe they can come back to it, but chill, you know what I mean? Same thing as with Zelda, you know, just kind of chill on that. Although Ninja Gaiden isn't as nearly as egregious as Zelda is, because they've come out with the only one, technically. Sigma and Black are the same thing, so.
Right.
Any ones that you want to throw out there, you guys, before we move on to the very last one?
No, not really. No,
I'll tell you what does need a sequel. Fucking Chrono Trigger.
Besides
Chrono Cross.
No, I wasn't going to say that.
Okay.
I was going to say that.
I would say Gunstar Heroes.
It already has one.
On the Game Boy Advance.
Gunstar Super.
Not as good, but really good.
Right.
No. I'm saying a real legitimate Gunstar Heroes. Fucking Tour de Force. Put it on a new system. put like things flying all over the place and like
That was a GBA version. It was a Tour de Force. It was a real sequel. It was just on a smaller screen.
Yeah.
Or do you just want one in 3D?
He wants one on like a console with next
technology. Not 3D. You know? I just want like a 2D version with like shit just going on.
Kind of like
all
a Mega
5,
I guess.
Get the Game Boy Advance for the GameCube and play it on the TV.
Yeah.
Is it really good?
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's
good.
Really good. It's not as good as the original, but it's really good. The problem is that they got rid of the combination system and they gave you the access to three weapons. At all times, so you're free to use them whenever you want, but you can't combine them, which is less fun, you know what I mean? But the action itself is still insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this last one, I'll try to get through it quickly because I've answered this in the past, but from HA33.XX, okay. Hey, Mr. Chip on our awesome side of the world, I was interested in video game journalism and seeing how I aspire to become part of an editorial team in the future because I love games in general. I love writing and discussing about them, but I consider my use of grammar and literature subpar. I just want to know if you can give me some advice on writing reviews for video games, seeing as how you write freelance for GameSpot. Make it not subpar. That sounds funny, but I'm serious. If you consider your use of grammar and literature subpar, there you go. Start with the grammar. With the grammar.
That's some fucking Zen knowledge, let me tell you.
With grammar, just perfect it. Study it, learn it, work on it. This email seems to be written fine. You know, it looks fine. Nothing is misspelled. There's a smiley face that you can't put in written. Just kidding. But, you know, it looks fine. Like, keep going like this. As far as literature is concerned, I'm not very literate in terms of that. Like, I don't read a lot. It can help to give you perspective on the stories that games tell. So do start reading. But I would just say play a lot of games and understand when you evaluate them, understand the point between objectively evaluating something and just being a total fan of it. Because what's going to happen is you're going to inevitably review games that you are predisposed to liking a lot, and despite your best efforts, you're going to find that according to the guidelines of whatever publication you're writing to, you're probably going to have to write a review that's not as favorable as what you have it in your head. So balance between I enjoyed this game and I'm writing a review for other people to read. Will they enjoy it? Something like Axelay that I reviewed for Virtual Console, I love the shit out of it. I don't care that it has control issues because it does. And it's unbalanced somewhat, but I love it. But at the same time, I'm not going to go out and tell my friends, you should unequivocally buy this because this is a perfect game. Because it's not perfect. And you're going to have to understand that when you review something, you can't just say, dude, I love this so much. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Everything is great. Well, what's great about it? How is it great? Be specific. Give details. And then afterwards, slim down your word count. But you have to start out with more. And finally, again, grammar subpar, just work at it. Get disciplined at it. Read other people's reviews and understand the approach that they come from and, you know, try to mimic their style. And for God's sakes, as much as I love EGM and, like, the way that they go about their journalistic parts, their reviews, don't write like them, please. Please don't write like. Don't say, dude, you guys are idiots. I love this. You know, that's what they do. I understand it's like a conversation. I just don't go for that. That's just not my thing. So please don't write like that.
You know what's a good help?
Yeah.
Buy an English for court reporting book.
Ah.
That will give you every single
English for court reporting?
Okay. Yeah, English for court reporting. That will give you every conceivable way to write and, you know, just like put everything in, you know, just in order so that it doesn't look like
you're... Because
it
has to be perfect when you're running a court.
Oh, yeah, absolutely perfect, okay? And it's unfortunate that I went to this class and I never read it.
Oops. Also,
that's why my grammar's good.
Also, another grammatical guide, and I recommend this to you in my email to you, but for anyone else who's listening, Diana Hacker's A Pocket Style Manual. It's like a very small manual. It's like about 3 inches by 6 or so. It's a little handbook, and it gives you all the grammatical rules that you need for basic English, when to use a semicolon and all that shit. And then you want to go download a style guide for video game writing. I forgot who wrote it or whatnot, but look it up, video game style writing guide. It's freely available as a downloadable PDF on the internet, or you can buy it as a book. Those together, along with Tony's book, should help.
Also, don't second guess yourself.
Yeah.
If you hand in your work and your boss tells you, "Well, did you really mean this?" You got to stick to your guns.
Yeah, but you also have to have really meant it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't lie. Like, if you didn't really mean it, then yes, second guess yourself. But when you are sure of something and your boss, you know, tells you, well, maybe you should change this, be like, well, no, I really thought this. If you write unprofessionally and they say you should change the tone of it, the style of it, like, this game sucked ass and that's not how they do things at that site, then yes, you should change it, but that's not second guessing yourself. You know what I mean? There's a difference. But.
And that's extreme. And if you did that, you shouldn't be hired anywhere. So.
Any parting shots from you, Al, before we go to housekeeping and let you go to work?
I don't want to go first.
Shut up. I am always first, bitch.
Face.
Bullshit.
Lies.
I really don't have anything to say except for mindless banter.
Okay. So, mindlessly banter very quietly while I do the housekeeping and doing the outro. So, as usual, you want to do up the GameSlaves.net radio podcast. GameSlaves.net by Riven and Charlie and Kristen. GameSlaves.net. GameSlave Radio.
Woot.
You can find them on iTunes. Woot.
Woot.
And then the Martian Man podcast. I have not seen an update on your GameSwap blog, Martian Man. If you don't start updating, I got to stop updating because if you're not putting out podcasts, I'm not going to pivot anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
And I believe there's something new on the site. We've got a Mass Effect review from from our man, Eric, Jedi Skills, the video review guy.
Do we put up the Crisis review?
We put it up on the 12th, and then we put up Mass Effect on the 9th. So I'm working out some kinks because I lost the original document to the Crisis Review, but I still have the links up there. So you can go download the Crisis Review. Insane. And we will be putting up his other review. I believe it was for I can't remember, but he's got a second review that we're going to put up.
It's a mystery.
No, I have his email here. I believe it's for Call of Duty 4.
We're going to find the riddle. We're going to find a clue. Put it all together. It's up to you.
What the
hell? Fantastic treasure hunt.
For Tony. For Al.
It's fun.
And for the useless piece of shit that refused to show up today with the big nose because he has to upper deck his mouth. I've been your host, Austin / Chupon. Oh, his name is Ethan, by the way. Austin / Chupon. I've been your host. And this has been the smooth, sultry voice of Richard Ball, a.k.a. known as Nick Ball at WTRA.
You got a load in your pants.
God damn it.